Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back, everybody. Ryan Sickler here. I'm going to start this episode like I start them all. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you very much for supporting anything I do. I don't care if it's coming to a live show, watching a show, throwing a comment up, buying merch, whatever it is. Thank you very much. I appreciate your support, especially of this show. It's fun to have a new show. This is one you definitely need to be watching here. And come see me on the road. Tickets for my dates are on my website at RyanSickler.com. Very excited to have this guest with me today here in the Way Back. Ladies and gentlemen, Gianmarco Cerezzi. Welcome to the Way Back, buddy.
Hello.
Hello. Please promote whatever you'd like, buddy.
Thank you. I'm a stand-up comedian, Gianmarco Cerezzi. I'm just touring all around the country. You can find all my dates at my social medias at Gianmarco Cerezzi. And listen to my podcast, The Downside with Gianmarco Cerezzi.
Watch his episode of The Honeydew as well, where I learned that you're from Maryland, and I've got a big heart for anybody from Maryland. So Potomac, Maryland was your start?
It's so boring. I've never written a single joke about Potomac because it's just flat. It's like people with money who don't know how to enjoy it. Like just enough money to isolate yourself from community. Wait. Just enough money to have your own pool and never have anyone to invite over to it.
How old are you?
36.
Were you there when the plane crash happened, or is that before your time?
I think that might have been before my time.
My dad was working at National Airport.
I was of the DC sniper generation.
Oh,
that was our.
We're going to look at that one too.
1982.
Yeah,
it was before my time.
Okay, so that's
you were a kid.
I'm 9 at the time. My dad's working at that airport. It was called National Airport. Now it's Ronald Reagan. And this plane took off. And I think what did it hit? The Washington Bridge. It hit a 14th Street Bridge. As it's taken off, it hit the bridge.
Oh,
and crashed.
It hit the bridge.
Oh yeah, look at this. Oh. Into the freezing Potomac. Look at it. It's freezing in the Potomac there.
So this was a passenger plane.
It was. And some people did live.
That's crazy.
Look at all the people up there. Some people lived. I just remember this video of one lady in particular. Is that her right there in the middle? That's her,
wow.
Yeah. And that was just an image burned in my head that this lady was swinging, going up to this thing in there. And I remember my dad coming home like, shit was wild at the airport today. I was like, holy
That's
shit.
That's crazy. That's so sad.
There she is. And go down in the life vest or the life preserver. Oh, there's a video of it. Yeah, you can watch that. This is it. This is freezing cold Potomac water these poor people are in. But DC Sniper,
DC Sniper was so crazy.
I'm living
dude.
Out here at the time, and you're right there in the area.
I'm right there in the area. Our
How
like
old are you
field,
at the time?
I think I was like sixth grade.
Okay.
Or maybe eighth. But what I do remember is I was on the school soccer team. So it was part of the curriculum. I was about to get like, I was about to fail, and I was a good student, but suddenly I was about to have like an F. I was so bad. I cared so little. And because of the DC Sniper, they canceled the whole season. And I got like a C or whatever because they said it's canceled. And it was because of that guy. Yeah.
What a wild positive out of the DC Sniper.
Uh-huh.
So if I remember, he had a kid with him or something.
He was like 18.
Was he related to him or?
No.
Like an apprentice?
Yeah.
That's it. They traveled in. Come on.
But here's what they said. I remember this. They said the police, we have an announcement. We've narrowed it down. The DC Sniper is in a white van. And you're like, and suddenly you don't realize until you're looking for it. Every fucking van is white. Every van on the street is white.
This is what my brother said. And they would just stop random white vans in traffic. He said people were, if I remember, wasn't there a lady that got shot at like a gas station?
Gas station getting, was the one. And she was reading
gas.
A book. I think she was reading a book.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But it was scary. There weren't that many shootings in the grand scheme of things. But I'd be going to the grocery store from the car, and I'd be like,
"Yeah,
you know, moving
this
like
that.
This
is a city under siege.
And it was random. Yes. That was the thing that was so scary.
It was truly random.
Right.
It's not white man or white lady. He was just whatever.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. I also start these episodes, and I didn't. Have you ever sat in this backseat? So this is the seat in the back of the station wagon that faced traffic.
Yes.
Did you ever sit in this or know someone that had this?
We definitely did it. It's incredible how they just disappeared, but it was always exciting. I forget. There were like games you'd play.
Did you have a station wagon as a family? Like whose car did you sit in the seat?
It was my friend's. Yeah. We didn't have one for some reason, but it was cool. It was always cool to sit in the back with a friend and just like making faces.
Yeah.
Why'd they get rid of that?
Safety. I'm sure.
Yeah, fatalities. They said, yeah. For
all
sure.
The rear end deaths.
Oh my God.
Talk to me about growing up in, because your parents split, so you're bouncing back and forth. And what are your summers like? What are your days like? What are you doing to have fun as a kid?
I was a summer camp kid. I did a lot of like
a sleepover camp,
sleepover,
day camp.
Sleepover.
Oh, you did? Where would you go?
I don't even remember.
In Maryland though? Or
no,
you go out of state?
It was always like somewhere in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and there were cabins, and there was athletic stuff, but I would work like they had arts and crafts, and I made necklaces the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I finally got to the theater ones. And those were local, or like French Woods was a popular one I went to. It's one of the classic like theater camps. I only did 1 year there.
Okay, so this is, I've never even heard of theater camps before. I mean,
you know, Stage Door, you've ever?
No.
Stage Door is like the...
I didn't know there were sleepaway theater camps and stuff. You're the first person. So let's talk about it. So you're going to a place like this here. So you would go here. And how long? Is this a week? Is this a...
like 4 weeks, enough to put on a show pretty...
Okay, so you're going and creating your own show while you're there with the other people, and then you put it on for the camp?
Yeah, you put it on for the camp.
Parents come at the end and you put it on?
I don't remember my parents coming, but that could have just been a them thing. It was... So I just bounced around. I was always jealous of the kids who went to the same one for 8 years because they had status. But everyone I went to was like a new...
Oh, you would go to a different one.
Yeah. And those camps like are where I felt like I had more... Because you go to a champ, you get to start over. I became goth at one camp. And
what do you
and
mean?
Like, so I was going through a skater boy phase. I was wearing like independent, but I could not skateboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I would go in the grass and stand on it for a second.
On the board?
Yeah. But aesthetically, Avril Lavigne and all this stuff, it felt so cool. And then I went to a camp. There was a girl I had a crush on. She ended up not liking me, so I felt like in a darker place. And then there was some party, and there was some goth kids there. They were goth, real goth, music, aesthetic, everything. And this goth guy said to this goth girl, "You should make out with him." And she was like, "Okay." And we made out. And I was like, "Well,
I'm goth now.
I'll wear black for the rest of my days." It was insane. I had never, someone said make out and yes. And
is this your first kiss?
No, I made it with another girl at that camp, but it was like, this is the first good make out. The first make out was like, people like this. And it was because there was just that tongue. Mm. That, I'm sure she's learned. We were both young. I don't blame her, but it was a lot of tongue. Oh my God. And, so I just started, I went to Hot Topic and I started high school. This camp was between middle school and high school. I started a new high school so you could reinvent yourself. And I went in that first day, fucking paint, big baggy jeans with chains.
Do we have any pictures of Hot Topic?
We have the tie-dye one. So this was like.
All right. This is your skater boy phase?
This was somewhere okay. in my. I don't know what it is. I'm wearing surely this is before cultural appropriation. That's a reggae hat.
Is this you wearing that?
Yeah, this is my dad's fault. This is
you said it was before cultural appropriation.
Before cultural appropriation. I think it started with this picture.
By the way, the other night I put online because I want new tattoos and I'm just looking stuff up and I was like, is it cultural appropriation to get
anytime a white guy asks that question, you go yes right out the gate, but sure.
A Dia de los Muertos tattoo.
Yeah.
The ladies, the skeleton ladies. And every response was, this is only Americans. No one outside of the United States, even you guys made that term up. And it was over, I mean, there wasn't one person that said, a Mexican that was like, Mexican here, we'd love it. We'd love to see our culture.
Yeah.
You know, not like, you can't have that on you, which is what I thought it would be. And it's completely the opposite.
Sure.
And they're making fun of basically white Americans who are like, this is bullshit. But
yeah,
back to your cultural appropriation. So what do you got on here? You got the reggae hat. And is that a... blue pants or is that like a... Oh, I see. It's jeans. Okay. The tie-dye runs into the jeans.
Sure.
Baggy jeans.
And then
who's this with
this
you?
This is like... That's my little brother.
Okay.
But I'm also wearing...
Bandanas
as a wrist piece. I once tried wearing it around my head, like it's so many different cultures at once, but I wore a bandana. I wore two bandanas and it was like,
oh, I see over here. Yeah. Bracelets.
Yeah. I was part of the jelly bracelets. And then Fox News said, well, when they break the pink one, they have to do anal, and every parent banned them.
Wait,
that's what? It was one of those, like they said, these, the lipstick parties and
I
the,
heard about the rainbow
and
parties.
The bracelet was like, if you break this one, then they have to kiss. And there was like, there were sex things attached to it. And some kid just told their parent that, and suddenly it was on Fox.
Oh, and it went everywhere. So
rainbow, where were these rainbow parties? Yeah. I never went to a fucking rainbow party.
I only read about them. It went to like Time Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, and it might have been like two or three kids that did that shit. You know
sure,
what I mean? It
sure.
But yeah. So what was the rumor? If the pink one broke, you had to do anal?
I forget. I wasn't getting any of this. I was sitting there breaking them all day saying, all right, it's someone. But no, it was just Hot Topic was driving this.
You show up at ninth grade, brand new image. And what is it? Is it this or this or
it's,
you got
it's a little image? More. I couldn't do black nail polish. For okay. sure. I wasn't good enough to do the eyeliner. I would have if I could.
Were guys doing the black nail polish in your grade?
No, it felt very much like it because it came from camp and who knows maybe where they were from. It was more normal, but it felt like a total like weird. This isn't even what people are doing that are counterculture. I was creation. I was a fucking weirdo.
Counterculture.
I cannot imagine how those kids. Because some of those kids went from their middle school to their high school, and I was new.
Right.
I cannot imagine how they viewed me. That's skater boy phase. So this is the summer right before. That's an independent, long sleeve shirt, and that's one of my best buds then on the right, Kevin Wong, and it went from skater boy to goth. So I definitely like didn't. I wanted something of this group, and I think if there had been more theater. It ended up being more like the queer side community that I ended up like, though that was my friend group in high school. But at that time, it's just reaching for straws. Bob Marley? Do I like Bob Marley? No, I don't like Bob Marley. What am I talking about?
Strike. Tell me about this.
So Strike, for people who do theater, at least in high school, it's like the last show, the last night of the show. We would stay at the school. We would take down the set and you'd basically spend the night. And a bunch of parents would organize it. But you were overnight at school. It felt cool. You know, people were sneaking off, hooking up. And it was a big thing at my high school where people would drink and get high as a matter of course. And it was just known. This was tradition. And my school, Georgetown Day School, was known as the drug school in like the 80s, where like the teachers were getting high with the kids. And
really?
Yeah. But again, like not when I went to high school, but that was the reputation. We were the pot school. And looking back, not really, but some people did pot. And I didn't drink or smoke for a long time. And then like sophomore year at Strike, like I had a brownie and I got drunk and it was a blast. It was amazing. I told a girl I loved her. It was wonderful. And then that year someone pulled the fire alarm just because they were drunk and being an idiot. And it triggered an investigation. And suddenly this thing that had been a long time tradition at the school, they were interrogating us. And I was a sophomore. I'd never been in trouble. I barely did anything. But suddenly we're part of this thing where whoever brought alcohol or weed, they got a 2-week suspension. They just went after the seniors and juniors. And we were like, oh, we're safe. We're a sophomore. But then they eventually started interrogating us. And we all had like a pack, like me and the other sophomores who drank. We're like, we're not going to talk. We're not going to talk. And then they held like a group where they said, guys, we know. This was the head of the theater department, the head of the tech department. Hey, guys, we know that some of you drank or smoked. Meanwhile, they knew this shit was happening, but they're saving their ass. Please, could we be honest? And we all go around, people who did this pact. No, I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything. I'm on medication. I can't even take pot if I wanted to. We keep going. And then this one girl starts crying.
Oh, not goes, the girl. Not the weak link.
I had a bite of a pot brownie. And then this person starts crying. I had a drink.
No.
And I'm sitting there like, you weak motherfuckers. You weak motherfuckers. We had a pact. And you guys crumbled like losers. Of course, we didn't have to.
Crying.
And so then, so I'm everyone, like almost everyone. And I'm like, nope, I didn't do it. And the tech guy, he looks at me and he mouths, we know you did it. And I'm still like, no. But then I broke after I went to the head and I said, I drank a little bit and I got put on the list. And I didn't have to.
What's the list?
We all got put on probation eventually. They interrogated us one by one. So people are now ratting each other out. And they did this thing. This is where I feel like I lost my faith in the system. Because again, I've been given every privilege in life. But I think this is where the system so failed me that I said, fuck this system. I remember there were some weed dealers at the school. And I remember like one of the seniors organized like a gathering with all the theater kids and the two cool weed dealers. And was like, hey, so here's why ratting is bad. Like we had like a speech of like, you shouldn't tell on the weed dealers. And I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? And I eventually got probation. But they put a lot of us on probation because it was a private school. Mm-hmm. And probations, you did not have to report to colleges. So they wanted to not give us, if they suspended all of us, it's going to affect the high school's college record.
Yeah.
This is where you learn. It's all fucked
up. So they're
up.
Looking out for themselves.
They're looking not out for themselves. You. Not me. But so they put us on probation, whatever. My dad was mad, but who gives a fuck? And then my year, they changed the college rules where you had to report probations as well of suspensions. So I had to write every college I applied to. Telling them I drank on school grounds.
Are you serious?
And like, if you understood it in the context of it's like, that was the tradition at the school. I was a fucking child. But I have to write all these schools being like, and I wasn't a drug dealer. I didn't even do much of anything. But suddenly these schools think that I'm a fucking deviant. And they left us in that. And I thought, I remember I went to my stepdad who was like a lawyer. And I said, he always talked as if he could, you know, move mountains. He was very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, Mr. Powerful, could you get rid of the probation at the fucking high school? And it was like, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. And that's when I realized like that these two male figures in my life, my stepdad and my dad, did not have the power that they claimed. The school was fucking me over. Even though I knew some of these faculty members getting me in trouble used to get high with their students in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I had to write every college. Meanwhile, those weed dealers, the ones who didn't get in trouble were the ones who were savvy enough to get away with crimes. And I think it was really that moment that I said, oh, fuck everyone. This is just to keep the people in power. And it was like a real breaking down moment for me of trusting the system at all.
All right. Action figures. Were you an action figure guy?
Loved action figures.
What kind?
I was a big... Yeah, Power Rangers was so cool because they had the... You press down on the belt buckle and their head would flip and they'd be like morphed. And my dad, he took apart the Power Rangers and we made five Rainbow Rangers. So it felt like we were like cheating. Like he just taught me how to take apart action figures and put them together.
These guys right
so here? Yes, that's the classic one.
Okay, so let's see.
And this. He had a gold shield plate too you could put over his chest.
You would take it apart and do what with it?
We would mix it. So I had six Rainbow Rangers. They'd have a red arm, a yellow leg, a blue torso.
Oh, okay.
And so like my dad, he went through, we would take apart radios and we would make action figures with super glue and all the parts. And what happened, I made these cool action figures. I brought them to my mom's and I had this plug action figure where we cut off an end of a plug and that was its head. And I was like, Mom, it's superpower. It can hang off the walls. And my mom saw me take a plug with a loose wire coming off of it and show her I could like Spider-Man hang on. And she was like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's, I mean, I could have easily shocked myself, but it was so cool. And my dad, I was in James Bond, so he was arts and craftsy. We got a suitcase. We made a false bottom out of popsicle sticks. And we would like make a bit of action figures and arts and crafts. And that was very fun.
All right.
Yeah. And then I was into wrestling. So I had wrestling action figures.
Okay.
Forever.
So I'm older than you. So who's your time of wrestling?
My time of wrestling is D-Generation X. The Undertaker was my guy. I used to, when I did basketball, you know how he would roll his eyes in the back of his mm-hmm. head? I would try to do that to freak out the other team, but I couldn't really do it. So I would go on the court before the match and I would be like this, be like,
You're walking up trying to fucking under.
And
like, somebody come help this kid.
But I loved it. My dad, he would let us put two mattresses in the living room and we would wrestle. We Sting, WCW was still popular. So my dad was like a Hulk Hogan guy.
Yeah, that's where my era was.
I was of the era where Hulk Hogan was the bad guy at WCW. And my dad, like, he encouraged that artistic side. We put on Sting face paint.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepmom at the time filmed us having a wrestling match.
The early Sting face paint or the Crow?
The Crow.
Okay. Okay, so that's the Crow stuff.
That's
there.
What we did.
But when I was there, bottom right, Kirsten, and the one on the left in that picture was his original makeup.
Do you wonder
like
with these
that.
Guys, like, don't they go, God damn, why'd I pick a character where I have to do makeup every goddamn day?
Maybe, but I also think about you because you were a theater guy and you wanted to play sports. And I mean,
sure. I think wrestling
is. In another life, this is your alley right here, bro.
Wrestling is straight theater. Mm-hmm. It's such a strange thing because it's so theatrical. And it's like the guys who do it, usually a lot of them are like these kind of manly. The Undertaker's like a manly dude, but he was like putting on gloves and eyeliner. He was doing more eyeliner than me.
Yeah,
he was going through
I'm
a
saying.
Much longer golf phase. And it's so theatrical. It's crazy. Part of me is like, I bet the Undertaker, if it was a little bit more straight, he would have had a great time in Hello, Dolly. You know, he would have loved...
Could you imagine Undertaker?
He'd be great.
Did you ever go to see him live with your dad or anything like that?
I saw, I don't know if it was a televised one. I don't think it was, but we were like standing close. It was so cool.
Where were you?
It was probably in DC.
Or whatever they call it now.
But it was, I think it was Kane, Stone Cold, and Mankind. And Stone Cold was beating Mankind. He took off his Mr. Socko. That was his thing. He put a sock on.
Yep.
And Stone Cold poured beer all over it. And my dad was like, over here. And we got this Mr. Socko that had been in Stone Cold's mouth, in Kane's mouth. And it smelled like beer. Oh, it was so dope. We had it. Someone accidentally washed it. It used to smell of beer. D-Generation X. We went to a match once where these guys, they were holding a big inflatable thing. And I remember I asked my dad, what does that say?
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
And he said, that's a middle finger. And later I realized, no, it was a dick. Their phrase was suck it.
Oh.
And it was a dick.
And he didn't want to tell you it was a dick.
It was naughty in a way that it's not. Wrestling isn't like, there's some wrestler now called like Justin freaking Rollins. And back then they would have said fucking. And that's the era I was in. It was cool. They were cursing. You saw tits. It was exciting.
I've seen the clips of that where they, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I mean, I
pull
guess
that
it
clip.
Was.
No.
Yeah, they have.
No, I'm just.
Video games. Are you a video game guy or were you a video game guy growing up?
My mom liked Nintendo. And Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I watched them for like a long time. I just watched.
What games? Mario and stuff like that?
The games that were really, Super Nintendo were the one I remember more. There was a Mario Paint game, mm-hmm. but there was like a fly swatter game where these flies would fly around and you had a mouse pad.
I don't remember.
You know, you had these like special controllers. It was like, you have the mouse pad controller. Mm-hmm. There was a Power Rangers game, a Mickey Mouse game, Donkey Kong, Mega Man.
Is this it here?
That's it. And it was like, it's one of those games that's so fun. And it's so retro where you just have to swat flies and avoid. It's a little bit like a Space Invader-y, but you kind of can move more around the screen. Mm-hmm. So I loved that. I loved Mario RPG, Mega Man. What was cool is there was this thing called Game Shark where for cheat codes, you wouldn't just put them in. You would put this into the thing and then it was like an in-between the cartridge.
Oh, okay.
It felt like you were installing computer equipment.
Okay.
Oh, it was so cool. It was so physical. It felt like you were like cheating and you got like some cool, weird thing. Ugh. Those are the days, man. N64, Super Nintendo.
You have Dance Dance Revolution up there. Is that something you got into out of the video game world?
Yeah. So it was like, you know what I'm talking about? That's the one where you have four arrows.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I never played it, but I would walk into Best Buy and I would just see people, and they're all doing it. And the people are gathering around and watching them and stuff. And I'm like, shit. Yeah.
So we got the, like, you know, the cheap pad at home, which sucks because it's just like the sensors aren't good. So you'd be slamming. And then we got an arcade pad. where like for Christmas it was like metal and it was thick.
Like this one right here.
Yeah. And I would do, they had like a calorie counter one. And it was the first time I'd ever worked out. It was like the first time I realized I was tricked into working out, but I liked it. And I remember I would do it and it'd say I'd burn 80 calories. And I told my dad, I said, I think it's broken. I must have burned way more calories than 80. But it's like, no, that's all you did. I would love, instead of spin, if they had a Dance Dance Revolution class.
Bro, you're sitting on it right now here.
I would do that.
You should do it.
Oh, I would sign up for that class. That's a good idea.
It is a damn good idea. Look, I used to be neighbors with a girl. She was a Laker girl, and she was one of Beyonce's backup dancers. Her name's Aisha. What's up, Aisha? Shout out over here. What's up, Aisha? And she was friends with the guy. She came to my apartment one night, and she goes, I work out with this guy who just told me he's going to be a millionaire next year. And I go, what's his idea? And she said, hip-hop abs. Do you know, in the next year, that motherfucker was a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
And I'd see his commercials over, like, Aisha, this is hip-hop abs. She's like, yep, that's the guy I told you about. And I was like, look at him go.
When I needed a break from P90X, I would go to my hip-hop abs class. That's definitely the easier.
Have you heard what happened to the guy from P90X?
I know him, and I've been to his house.
You do?
And Tony Horton, yeah.
And how do you know him?
I had a brother of a friend who like waited his table and like he invited him to be part of his, you know, he does daily workouts and he has like a beautiful home with like a workout space and ropes to climb and pull up stuff.
But isn't he unhealthy or unwell or something?
I believe he had, he's public about it. No. He had something. I forget what it's called. Ramsey-Hunt syndrome.
But he got better
and he's like he has his own workout program now again. Yeah.
So hip-hop abs and then your guy abs. P90X created that thing and we all did it.
Yeah.
That was
it was my introduction to really like working out.
So again, I'm older. Did you get a lot of the workout gadgets back in the day on TV, like the ab roller?
Oh God. I did the 8-minute ab video. Did you ever do that one? That guy, I wish I could sue that guy still. Cause he said, like, if you do this one video every day, you'll have, and he is cut as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I did it one summer. I was like, here we go. Ab flex.
And it doesn't.
Oh my God.
And then they don't ever tell you that it's that ab shit is two things, genetic and diet.
Diet. I promise before that picture, he did not eat for a while.
Yeah.
He didn't have water. Thank God my parents never got me. The one that I really wanted as a kid was there was the one where you strapped it and with electrodes would just do it for you. Just this constant like, hey, do you want to not work out and get all the results of working out?
Yeah, you want a six pack from doing nothing? Yeah, that was the one. There it is.
Oh my God. I dreamed of it.
Look at him. He's got it on his arm.
That picture is Photoshopped too. That is insane.
Of course it is. That's ridiculous.
Monsters.
Look up this guy, Kirsten. Let's see if we can find him. I'm pretty sure his name was Tony 90s Fitness Guy. There he is. That's him.
Yeah. My mom still has
this. That's it. That. What's his name? That's the guy right there. Tony, I feel like, is... Yeah, Tony Little. He was out there. Any exercise equipment, he was the guy like, this is the one, not guys. I'm going to show you how to use it.
It's just crazy.
Go
that
down
would
a
be,
little bit. He did the ab one.
As if those arms came from that.
Yeah, from that.
It's my dream. I want to be in the background of a workout video.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
we can
it's
make
fun,
that happen for you,
I think
bro.
It's a fun shoot.
That red one in the middle. Looks like the club. That thing. Tony Little's ab what? Uh-huh. I had that one too. Let me tell you, look at me. Not on work, bro. Not on work.
I would, if I was back in those days in high school, I would have been like, can I use Ozempic? I would have been like, please, let me try Ozempic.
Please.
Are you allowed to give, is Ozempic an 18 or older drug?
That's a good question.
There we go.
He doesn't know either. Look.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I was a big ravioli tomato sauce kid.
Yeah, boy. Look at that. Look at the pants of fire sitting there until I just noticed it.
Yeah, it was at my mom lives here, so I got all these pictures. So
yeah, what's going
this
on
is
here?
This is the Princess and the Pea.
Oh, this is the, okay.
And I looked at the audience and got a big laugh. So that's first
this
grade.
This is where the first little taste of heroin of comedy was.
Okay. Yeah. And that's my friend Nathaniel. And we were close. We were close enough. I still have bits about our friendship.
Who's number 53 up there?
I did one football thing. And I mean, I don't think
this
wasn't
a Halloween costume. You actually played here?
I mean, in a way, it was.
You look like a ball player.
This was more cultural appropriation than my other stuff, honestly. I mean, truly. I was like, Mom, get a picture of the one time I got my pants dirty, please.
Oh, dude, thank you for doing this. This was fun.
Oh, they're cultural. Wait. We're going full cultural. That's a trip to Mexico.
Is that Mom?
That's Mom.
Okay. She got her hair done down there, though?
We all got our hair done down there.
Oh, wait, you have braids, too?
No, I think that's my sister.
I was going to say.
That's my sister.
Okay. Everybody got them. One more time, please, promote what you'd like.
Everywhere at Gianmarco Cerezi, spelled with a G, Italian spelling, and touring all over the country and more international in 2025. And then listen to my podcast. It's a very fun podcast. We have people on to just talk about the negative sides of their life, their day, their opinions. It's The Downside with Gianmarco Cerezi.
All right. Thank you again for doing this. I appreciate your time. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Tickets for my dates are up on my website. Go get them now. I'll be out there on the road. If I'm in your town, when you're around, come check out a live show. And we'll talk to y'all next week.